Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
Yeah, indeed. We're broadcasting live on YouTube every day for the full 3 hours. You can see most of the guests that come on the show as well. Just think of it like a TV program without all the drama you might see in ITV. You can get us on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. That's for your phone, tablet, laptop, smart TV. As I say before, most smart TVs now come with the YouTube app loaded on it. Might as well use it. Also, your Fire Stick. It's handy there as well. We're also on Facebook. Facebook Watch was taken off the Fire Stick. That's why I'm sort of favouring YouTube a little bit at the moment. Facebook is Highland Hub or Highland Radio News and Sport. And you can click Watch Live on our website as well. Right. Good morning, says this listener. I'm 56. And sometimes I'm lonely at times and spend the whole weekends without talking to a living soul. Where are these groups? How do I find out? I'm not religious, so church newsletters aren't an option. I'm willing to join groups, just don't know where or how to access them. Right, listener, if you would do me a quick favour, if you could send me, text in where you are-ish. Do you know what I'm on about? You don't have to give me your address, your air code, but you know what I mean. What area are you in and what are you interested in? And I'll announce that and hopefully we can connect you with a group. That's what we want to do here. That's part of what we do here. And other people are coming in with suggestions. So if you have something going on in your area, maybe you want more female participation, more male participation, you're a voluntary group, particularly focused on the elderly, but not exclusively, and you want more members, get in touch with us and we'll announce it for you. And hopefully we can connect two or three people with something for them to do and make them happy. And I would be going home happy if that were the case. So you're 56, you're very young to feel like that. And there's loads to do. We just have to connect you with something that you want to do. I mean, even myself there, I'm trying to do more. I wasn't doing much. I was coming to work and going home and loving that, don't get me wrong. But, you know, other stuff as well. And we went to Port Salon there the last day or two ago. And we got in kayaks. I got a kayak. And we, Hugh from Eco Atlantic Adventures. And I can't recommend Hugh highly enough, by the way. If you're interested in trying kayaking, and there's loads of others out there as well. I just happened to be with Hugh from Eco Atlantic Adventures. Look them up on Facebook. We went up from Port Salon up to the Seven Arches and back, and it was wonderful. And it doesn't take a ton of energy either. You know, I'm not incredibly fit, I don't think. But it was very manageable, and you get to see all the caves and things like that as well. So, you know, there's lots of things to do out there if you connect with the right people. And we had a great time. And it was a remarkable experience. And we were commenting as we were doing it that there's people fly. It was like something, you know, when you go up the coast there from Port Salon, you're transported into somewhere like Thailand or something. You know what I mean? It's how you imagine it might be there. People flying across the other side of the world for experiences like that. And there they are right on our doorstep, paddling through sea arches and into caves that you can only just squeeze in and then you turn at the back of the cave and come out again. I mean, it's just stuff you would not forget. And it's great if you have a guide as well, because then you have the confidence to know that you're not doing anything that could harm you. Animal always suffers. Animal will always suffer. We live in such a cruel world. If I could save all animals, I would. It breaks my heart how they suffer. Yeah, indeed. I know how you're feeling. Right, okay. Traffic heading into Twin Towns. Bad this morning, we're told. Yeah, indeed. Hopefully that improves soon. Right. And there's a couple of other things here that I just want to go through. And then I'll announce as the morning wears on. But I do have to take this quick break because I know there's many of you out there waiting on your bingo numbers. It is jackpot day as well. And don't forget, by the way, if you want to play bingo, you can play it at any stage here. And you support the National Council for the Blind of Ireland. You can pick up your books. If you have a look around the counter of most shops, they're there. It's €5 to play, €1 per day. We have hundreds of euro given away. We should really be screaming it from the rooftops when you think. There's hundreds of euro won every day, or it builds up and then it's won on the second or third or fourth day. There's people winning big money all of the time. And also, we have this crazy jackpot on a Thursday that you could possibly win as well. But all the whilst having a bit of fun, you're supporting the National Council for the Blind of Ireland. All right, reading in the Irish Farmers Journal today that the majority of the country is in, officially, absolute drought. Amy Fawes, deputy news editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, and joins us on the programme now. Hi, Amy.
Good morning.
So, I mean, we can officially categorise drought and absolute drought, can't we?
Yes, we can indeed. So as you said there, the majority of the country is in an absolute drought with below average rainfall forecast as well for the next 2 weeks, Met Éireann has told us. Basically, what is an absolute drought? An absolute drought is where an area experiences 15 or more consecutive days with less than 0.2 mil of rain per day. So anyone that has been looking out a window over the last number of days and weeks will know that we've got barely any rain at all in the last week or 10 to 15 days, and the majority of the country is in drought at the minute. Matthew Martin of Met Éireann has said it looks like it will gradually break down from the weekend on, and that the high pressure that's been blocking any nasty rain showers that a lot of us don't want will retreat to the north at the weekend, and this will allow showers on Friday night and Saturday. In one way, this will be you know, music to farmers' ears who have obviously been very busy cutting silage and hay over the last number of days and weeks. They're kind of facing an issue in terms of regrowth, so for a second cut of silage and to have grass ahead of cattle and sheep essentially. Obviously in certain parts of the country in the west and northwest, this is ideal summer weather that we would expect and we'd like to have most years. The drought is really starting to bite the other end of the country.
All right,
in the southeast.
We'll talk about the consequences in a moment, if that's all right, Amy. But I suppose, too, there's a couple of things we have to consider, and you do in the Irish Farmers Journal. I mean, it doesn't matter if we had the wettest March in history. The ground's dry now. And also, too, some of the forecasters predicting that the showers could be fleeting and patchy, and on hard ground, they can wash off really quite quickly. So farmers would be looking for the right type of rain to fall in the right sort of volumes too, I suppose, to alleviate the problems they have right now.
Yeah, they will be, but it doesn't look like that's going to come. So Met Éireann has said that the forecast is going to bring around 10 millimetres of rain, which will technically break the drought, but soil moisture deficits will still be high across the country. And as you said, if the ground is rock solid in parts of the country, only 10 mil of rain isn't going to do a lot, to really change things there. There'd need to be more consistent rain. Met Éireann is currently also compiling its monthly forecast, and below average rainfall is forecast right out to the 20th of June. So it doesn't look like the good weather or the dry weather is going anywhere anytime soon, really.
Yeah, and as you were talking to Amy, maybe in a little bit more detail now, the problems now will be felt down the line, won't they, in terms of the lack of regrowth, when they might get a second cut. Down the line, this all leads to potential fodder shortages in the months ahead. And is there anything really farmers can be doing to offset that?
Yeah, so just on fodder shortages, it'll be for next winter that the concern is. Anyone that remembers 2018 knows it was a terrible weather year in terms we had storms and we also had a drought. So 2018, we had a very long winter, a long spring, and with farmers unable to make those reserves of silage for the length of the spring, essentially. And then we had drought, so growth rates were way back and we needed to import fodder. That's not the case this year. So we've the last couple of weeks we've seen it around the country, balers and mowers around the country moving to make hay and silage. The concern would be for next winter, and a fodder survey is underway. But you mentioned there about avoiding feed deficits or avoiding stressing crops in this kind of weather. We've advice for the four main sectors for beef, tillage, sheep and dairy in the Farmers Journal this week. And it really is, depends on where you are in the country, what you need to be thinking about. We need to try and keep grass ahead of cattle so it wouldn't be topping paddocks that might be longer than usual. We'll be leaving that there. Hay is a good option to slow the rotation if we want to keep meal costs down on beef farms. And water obviously is very important during a dry spell. So plenty of water, make sure all troughs are working and up to date.
Yeah, and there's an awful lot of advice, as you mentioned, right across the different sectors, so people can dig into that. And I mean, we don't want anyone wasting resources either. Something as simple as, applying fertilizer when there's no moisture to assist. You don't want to be throwing good money after bad either. So it's well worth farmers to go through this advice and see what might work for them so they can mitigate it as best as is possible.
Yeah, that's it. And that's the key advice. What can you do at this minute in time? One, obviously, to ensure the welfare of your animals, and to ensure that your crops, if you are a tillage farmer or a grain grower, to ensure that your crops are still motoring on as they should be. No one wants to be, based, as you said, wasting money. And the same goes for slurry. There's no point spreading slurry out if it's scorching weather either. Mm. You'll end up burning the ground, and slurry is a valuable asset as well. So hold off on the fertilizer and the slurry, obviously depending on the weather and where you were. And as I said, there's full detail on that in this week's paper.
Yeah, and very finally, what's the significance do you see of, because they don't come around too often, a national fodder survey?
Yeah, so it obviously depends on the year. As you said, they don't come around to survey. The minister has ordered one for the whole country. It's probably important. It's probably something that maybe should be done every year to see what fodder stocks are like in the country. So that the National Fodder and Food Security Committee, this is the committee set up after the war began in Ukraine, following the Russian invasion, by the Minister for Agriculture to ensure food and feed security. It has still been meeting, not as often as it was last year, but they've been asked to compile a comprehensive fodder inventory for the country. And the fodder survey, as I said, it's underway in every county. That'll get an idea of what's on the ground and the fodder that's in train. So it will be interesting to see how things are fixed on that front when the results of that are published.
Amy, thanks for your time this morning. All the details in today's Irish Farmers Journal. Amy Ford, Deputy News Editor, thank you very much indeed for that. Raymond McBride is off the men's shed in Kilmacrenan. Good morning to you, Raymond.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good to have you with us. All right, talk to us about the facility you have in Kilmacrenan and what you've got up to.
Well, Kilmacrenan Men's Shed was set up in Kilmacrenan here 10 years ago by a few guys that decided that they saw the concept in other places. It originated in Australia, but they saw it and they saw that there was like-minded men like themselves that were maybe of an age where they weren't going out, they weren't going to social events, etc. And they were just maybe partly lonely.
Yeah.
And also that there were skills out there that could be shared with others. And they set up the Men's Shed. It's a worldwide organization, but it has really taken off in Ireland. And we were very fortunate. We secured a cottage that the men renovated prior to my time, and we have a woodworking workshop there. We do a bit of walking. We walk in groups. Times we were involved there for the last month in a walking group with our local Young at Heart group and DLDC and the Ukrainian community in Kilmacrenan. That we met every Monday and walked. We had a health and exercise walk, and then the LDC were very good. They looked after us for lunch then after it, and it was a great way to meet some of the Ukrainians that are living in Kilmacrenan. And since that, we've had a few of them coming down on a Tuesday night. Unfortunately, they can't do anything in the workshop, but they come down and just really meet and socialise with us for a while.
And the thing is too, Raymond, it's all inclusive, isn't it? You don't have to be an older person. You don't have to be retired. You don't have to be a master craftsman in wood turning. You're inviting people to come along and if they can make it on a Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m., just to come along and mix.
Just the biggest and most important part of our whole evening on a Tuesday, and any other day, if members so wish to undertake a project such as making a garden bench or making a mud kitchen or making a wishing well, whatever, for a garden, garden or anything like that, you can come any day provided two men who are members of the shed are together for health and safety, obviously, with tools and machinery.
And come here, and I've seen some of the bigger projects, big boats, not necessarily from the Kilmacrenan Men's Shed, but I saw beautiful wooden trailer in a St. Patrick's Day parade, which was restored or built.
We made a float there for St. Patrick's. Every year we talked about doing a float for St. Patrick's Day. And every year, does they say, yeah, we must get it done. And then
typical men.
Come the 1st of March, it was talked about but never done. And this year, a couple of us set two, and we got everything from A to Z out of recycled, wow. including the paint, which we were very fortunate to be allowed to take from the recycling centre, as it was for a community project. Bryson's were very good to us. The wood we used was completely recyclable.
What did you make, Raymond? You've got me on tenterhooks.
We made a lighthouse.
Oh, I saw
on
it.
Wheels.
I saw
a model, yeah. not a replica, but a model of the Thanet Lighthouse.
No, I saw that. It's beautiful.
And we took it to... Unfortunately, we couldn't take it to Letterkenny because the parade seemed a bit long for some of us to walk the whole way. But we brought it to Kerrygart in the morning,
yep.
and then we brought it to Kerrykeel in the afternoon for both the parades. And Jimmy Stafford, thankfully, of Highland Radio, gave us a few great plugs in that we didn't disclose to anybody outside the shed until the day of the parade what it actually was.
Yep.
So Jimmy built up a bit of excitement in the morning on St. Patrick's Day morning. We sent him a photo of it leaving, but he agreed not to post the photograph until we had shown it in public. But, it was a great idea for the men to get them involved. And, for their own, a lot of boys on St. Patrick's Day, it's a family day, and some of them maybe... having family that they're going to...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so...
And do you know what I like
again,
about it too,
it's a social
Raymond,
outing.
It is, and it's a nice opportunity, I think, men's sheds as well, to socialise where it doesn't have to be in a bar or a pub, because some people don't drink or used to drink or whatever, and sometimes, who do you talk to about the football or whatever it may be? I don't want to be sexist on it, but you know yourself.
No.
And it's an opportunity...
Who do you talk to about the hurling, the golf, the cricket...
Out about the life or whatever it might be.
Yeah, give out. Yeah, well, no, we'll not go there.
I'm only joking.
But the most important part of any meeting we have is a cup of tea and a chat.
Right, good stuff.
Like, there has to be, we try and encourage talk through the cup of tea and the chat.
But it's done informally, isn't it, Raymond?
Oh,
it's not
great,
a counselling session.
No...
It's nice and relaxed. Okay.
Oh, not at all. No. So, I mean...
Every Tuesday evening, 7:30 p.m. And I think you said that if other times suit, maybe something can be arranged as well.
Yeah, there was a guy on the phone there recently, and he said, oh, Tuesday evening wouldn't really suit. And I said, you know what? I said, if it suits you, we'll get a couple of guys together. And, like, there's sheds. It doesn't have to be Kilmacrenan. There are men's sheds all over Donegal. They even now have, we're very fortunate with DLDC, they have a coordinator based down there below you's in the DLDC offices below the mountain top, where they have a guy, Brian Kerr, and I'm sure Brian will be delighted to hear and mention that he is our coordinator. They have coordinators for down the west. They have coordinators for the Gaeltacht sheds who will let people in those areas know what's going on or where their shed is.
Okay,
brilliant. There's a new one now starting in Ards.
That's right. We did an interview on that a couple of months ago. So good to hear that's progressing. Yeah, good to hear that's progressing.
Yeah, I mean, that's open now and welcoming members.
Okay.
Like all sheds, there's no criteria. You don't have to be from the area. You don't have to be 70. You don't have to be a builder, a carpenter, a plumber. You can... The biggest part of it is that you're willing to come along and sit and have a cup of tea.
Okay, brilliant stuff. And I saw that lighthouse in the Carrigart Parade. I got a wild touch there.
I got
a wild touch from Noel McBride at the parade. But anyway, it was great fun, and it was a brilliant thing that you did. Raymond, lovely to chat to you.
No problem
at all,
Greg, and thanks for having us on. So, and anybody wants to get in touch, just contact the Kilmacrenan Men's Shed on our page there and just call out.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay. You can just walk in, have a look round and walk out
great
again.
Bunch of lads. And your enthusiasm and how welcoming you are too is infectious, Raymond. Thank you so much. That's Raymond McBride there. A caller says, I'm doing a yoga retreat class in Ards in Creasla in June and again in August. This is suitable for the older community. If they're interested, get in touch. And it's also a beautiful place to walk, of course. We'll be happy to pass on your number if anyone's interested in that. We did a great interview with a group of, I think it was mostly women, about curling. K-U-R-L-I-N-G. And they were Mad for More members, and they seemed like a great bunch of people. Really, their enthusiasm was really infectious, and the sense of competition, though, which is not really supposed to exist, I don't know. But anyway, it was really there. So if you want to get involved in curling, and that's for people of all abilities and ages, loads of teams in Donegal. It's mostly made up of females, and they're finding it more difficult to get males to join. So if you're out there... there's curling all across Donegal. So if you're an older gentleman, you have a group of women there involved in curling that are very keen for you to get involved. You heard from Raymond. They want you to get involved. So if there's a way you can make it happen, please do. Right, we'll do more of that as the show wears on. As I say, if we can connect one or two, three people even with activities and get them out of the house and back loving and living life again, my job will be complete for the week. Okay. Let us talk now about an issue you may have heard on the news. This is the fact that there will not be a nurse on Tory Island for some time. Marjorie Carroll will say good morning to first, who's manager of Tory Island Co-op. And I think from the get-go here, Marjorie, we understand people are entitled to and deserve time off or whatever it might be. This is not about any individuals. This is about, I suppose, contingency and organisation to cover any gaps that are in the services, Marjorie.
Oh, definitely. That's 100% correct. Everyone's entitled to their annual leave. And if someone's sick, they have to take out sick leave as well. You know, so we're not disputing that fact at all. I suppose for anyone who doesn't understand how the system works here, it works on a 2 week on, 2 week off rota. So basically we have a nurse who's finishing up today, and there was another nurse to replace her. And unfortunately that nurse has called in sick, and we're left now in a position for the next couple of weeks that we won't have any nurses cover. Now the nurse that's leaving, was due to leave today, has kindly said that they'll stay on for an extra day and we'll probably have to come back a day early to try and help with the issues on the island. But like almost 2 weeks is an awful long time to be left without a nurse on the island. And unfortunately today as well, there was a serious mess up with a doctor coming to Tory Island. We're going to be left now with no doctor for, it'll be a month before we'll get the doctor back here again now. So, it'll be 2 weeks. So we'll be left for a month without any doctor on the island, which isn't great at all for the island. There's quite a lot of people sick here at the moment, and it's just quite shocking.
Yeah, it is. And, it's also not necessarily that the amount of people that might actually need the nurse or doctor in any group. It's also about a bit of health security as well. I'm sure it spikes anxiety, Marjorie, for people knowing that they don't have access to a nurse for a couple of weeks.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I suppose it's... If we had known yesterday, say, that there was no, the helicopter service cancelled, they made the HSE aware of it. Unfortunately, that message wasn't passed on to the doctor or to the nurse on the island or to ourselves. Unfortunately, the doctor was standing at the helipad in Kilkerry this morning and there was no helicopter turned up. If we had known in advance, we could have got that doctor onto Tory via the boat. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately now, what's happened is we're going to have to try and get the medications and on the boat and then distribute them to the islanders. I suppose it's communication, I think, is the key here. And unfortunately, there's something going amiss somewhere, and someone needs to take responsibility for Tory Island, because I feel myself, as a parent of three young children, you're kind of left on your own here at the minute. And like 30 years ago, the service was better here. We have a fabulous building, but it's not utilised at all.
Yeah, and we hear conversations and look, anything that's progress is good about, you know, encouraging people to the islands or repopulating them or investing money. Listen, when someone is thinking of moving to an island or staying on an island, we're not talking specifically about Tory in this instance, you know, access to a reasonable level of healthcare would be one of the first things that you look at, whether you're a healthy middle-aged person, an older person, or have young children. You know, we need to get the basics right.
Yeah, no, 100%. And yesterday, Minister Humphreys was in Arranmore and they launched the National Islands Policy, the 10-year plan. And as part of that, it's supposed to enhance health and wellbeing services on the islands. Like, all we're looking for, we're just looking for the basics here, you know, so we don't even have that. So I kind of think to myself, well, actually, maybe let's go back and start again, because we on Tory, we don't even have the basic services on the island here. And it's in 2023, it's absolutely disgraceful that we're left today. We have no doctor. If we had known in advance, we could have got the doctor in on the boat. Yeah. We would have, there's a full clinic, there's quite a lot of people, as I said earlier, quite a lot of people sick. So what those people are going to have to do now is they're going to have to take their sick child or their sick parent
on
or whatever
the ferry, yeah.
on the boat, on the ferry, out to the mainland, queue up, take them back in. It's terrible. Like, it really is shocking.
And it is down to organisation. I don't know how many nurses would be required for cover. I mean, listen, say, for instance, there were three nurses, like two rotated on and off and one for cover, and all of them come down with something. People would understand that, right? But Marjorie, this is about someone saying, how important is it to have nurse cover on Tory Island? And someone has decided, well, we can't move A to B and C to D and so on and so forth. This is an organisation issue here. Do we know what the rota is and the cover for that rota? Because that's what needs to be looked at here, I think, clearly.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like 2 years ago, we had a meeting, there was HSE staff came in and it was discussed. And I remember thinking at the time, oh God, do we really need that? They were talking about having three nurses covering Tory. But that was 2 years ago. Now, it's probably that is what we need. But there's been no talk of that since. We thought 2 weeks ago that we got someone on Tory who was a native Tory Islander who moved back, that they were covering. Now, they obviously have to have their time off as well. They can't be here 24/7, you know, 7 days a week. So we thought, well, this isn't now, our problems are resolved. But actually, they're not, because we still don't have any cover if people are off sick or if they have bereavements in the family. People are entitled to be off, even take leave. But that means that we're still left with no cover. So what the HSE are telling us this morning is we have sent out emails. We can't get anyone to come to Tory to cover for you, unfortunately. And that's basically where we're left. So basically, anyone who's from Tory who's listening out there today, we are on our own here, basically, and that's just unfortunate the way it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you feel that anyone's sick at all, the best place to head is to the mainland, because at the minute we have no cover on Tory Island, and it's disgraceful in this day and age.
Yeah, and there's also presumably people going out to visit the island as well. You know, it's not just the population that lives there all the time. The population, I presume, grows somewhat in June, July and August. Right, Marjorie, I'm not sure what we can do except make inquiries and hopefully put the pressure on. I know you are and some politicians are as well, to try and get this situation sorted. This is people's health and well-being, and there's no point paying lip service to the islands and not getting the basics right, I think really is would be my view on it, Marjorie.
Yeah, and I mean, we're not looking for months. All we're looking for is the basic services, the basic services that we would have had years ago. There's talk of, you know, e-health, there's talk about enhancing well-being, all of that. Look, all we're looking for this morning is the basic services on the island for the islanders. And as you said, we could have 150 here during the winter months. This time of the year, going right up June, July and August, that could go up to 400 per day, you know. So, you know, it is increasing, you know, every weekend. Now you see an increase in people coming to the island. So, it's a major issue, unfortunately.
And not to mention I'm sure that the doctor that was due out there today has better things to do with their time than sit waiting on transport that doesn't arrive. Okay, Marjorie, listen, thank you for helping us understand. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care. Okay, we'll be back with more after these. In fact, I think we'll go with a listener's dilemma about them expecting their child, expecting them to babysit their children. FOC. Right, so we got a letter from a listener that reads as follows. My daughter is a single parent. I love her and I fairly admire all she does. She is some woman, but God forgive me, she's taking a hand now. I said I would help her because honestly, what single parent can afford childcare at the minute? I look after my two grandchildren aged 2 and 5, what was agreed to be 3 times a week from 7 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. Now this has turned into 5 days a week. And she won't come to collect them until 9 p.m. Or worse, she starts hyping up a sleepover at Granny's to the wee ones, knowing I'll find it hard to say no to their faces. I am just shattered, to be honest with you. I'm 60 years of age. I reared my children, Greg. If I mention this to my daughter, she goes mad, telling me nobody supports her or comes out with the stuff that I mustn't like this, like the wee ones. I'm doing this free of charge. I feel disrespected, but don't want to fall out with my daughter. What on earth should I do with her? So what do you do in this situation? Now, Granny was very good, I think. 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. It's a long shift, 3 days a week. Now, the hand's been taken. It's 5 days a week. Sometimes it's till 9 p.m. Other times it's, and you know yourself, would you like a sleepover at Granny's? And the wee ones look up with their little faces and can Granny say no? What do you do in this situation? How does this mother deal with her daughter? Obviously, I think she's doing amazing as it is, but can't go on. She's got her children reared. That's what she said. So what do you think she should do? 086 60 25,000. Share your thoughts. And I, ideally, maybe, if you were in this situation yourself previously and you come up with a solution, maybe you do need to fall out with your daughter for a while. Do you know, like, I don't know what I would do. But you have to look after yourself as well. And how can you look after other people if you don't look after yourself? That would be the way I would say, you know, you have to look after your well-being. We posted this on our socials as well to see what people out there thought. This is what John said. Help her out to an extent, yes, but she has to learn. She can't just bring kids into the world and dump them on someone else. What happens if, God forbid, the mother died tomorrow? Who picks up after the daughter then? Now, it's possible, though, people's circumstances change. There could be a relationship breakup. I don't know, but I understand what you're saying. I don't think anyone intentionally has children with a view to dumping them on someone else, really, is effectively what I'm saying. Pat says, send her packing. She's using you. You love for your daughter is not reciprocated. Conditional love is not really love. Wow, Pat. I mean, that's quite insightful. And you're onto something there. If the love was coming back the same way in reverse, this wouldn't be happening, would it? Send her packing, they say. But you don't want to leave your children, even if they're adults, struggling like that, do you? Kathleen says, start looking for money. I don't think that's the thing for this listener. You know, because they began this service to assist their daughter. So what do you do? 086 60 25,000. It is a tough one, I'll give you that. So thought out solutions. 07491 25,000. How much was the country fined for not housing their own people? People should remember this in the next election. Right, okay. Let us see another one here. I'm listening to the show at the moment. I want to say a lot of older people would like to avail of their bus pass to get to the services and entertainment available, but are unable to do as they cannot step up to get into the bus as the steps are too high on most buses. As well, older people cannot access tickets for travel on buses through their phones. Please read this out as it's affecting a lot of lonely older people. Thank you. So, even if there is a bus close to you, is access to the bus a prohibitor? If you're in a city, they're very low. You'd literally step off the curve and you're on the bus or the curb. And also the issue with booking your tickets online. Was that not resolved, though, where you could turn up? I don't know. I don't want to give anyone some wrong advice. Okay, we have to take a very quick break before we're joined by our next guest, who is the Deputy Mayor of Derry City and Strabane. Now, Councillor Jason Barr is Deputy Mayor of Derry City and Strabane District Council. Thanks for joining us this morning, Jason. Good to speak to you.
No problem. Good morning, Greg.
Right. Now, a devastating announcement coming in as it relates to pound stretchers in Strabane. What's going on?
Yeah, so just within recent weeks there, notice appeared on the notice board within the staff room and within pound stretchers to inform the staff that the store would be closing in the next number of weeks. So this is another devastating impact to the retail from Strabane, especially after the closure of three other retail outlets within the last year when their sites were tumbled to make way for the new Lidl store that is now underway. So it's not great for the town now, Greg, at all.
Yeah, before we talk about this most recent announcement, Jason, you know, to lose two or three, four big stores, it's a big hole, isn't it, in Strabane, like in terms of its attractiveness. And, you know, obviously big stores, then people might go into smaller stores or other stores. You know, the footfall, you don't want to see a reduction in that if you're in business locally.
Definitely not, especially, you know, with it being a border town, Greg, especially, as you say, for the footfall, we lost in the footfall massively. And I know with Lidl build their new store, they're going to build three retail units directly behind the new Lidl store, which will hopefully attract further business in the town. But with the last now pound stretcher, four within the 1 year, that's why this morning that I've called on business council officers within Derry City and Strabane for an urgent meeting with all elected reps and to invite InvestNI to see exactly what we can do to attract investment and retail outlets back into the town.
Yeah, for sure. And get to the bottom of as to why, you know, they feel they have to depart. And as it relates to staff, They are being offered the option of redeployment to either Derry or Omagh. But I'd imagine, Jason, for the majority, though, I can't say with any certainty, that's not going to be an option, is it? That level of a commute, you know, the increased cost and the impact that really has on your take-home.
Without a doubt, Greg, and you're 100% right. You know, they asked staff to redeploy is a big ask, especially during the times that we're in at the minute. And it's not going to suit every single member of staff. You know, I know there's 13 members of staff there, and not every single one of them staff drive. So that's going to have an impact on their job, and surely that means that they'll probably have to leave their post and seek employment elsewhere. So it's just about now getting their heads all together, getting invested in I down, invested in I really need to get down and have this conversation and see what retail outlets that we can bring to the town to bring footfall back in it once again.
Yeah, because now, I mean, you could say, Jason, because of a lack of investment from Dublin and Belfast in the northwest, you know, we are perhaps more reliant than other areas on the likes of retail and hospitality. So when we start shedding those jobs, it really is problematic. These are bills from staff that are going to struggle to pay mortgages and all that type of stuff. I mean, this has a huge impact on people's lives, and then that ripples out through a community.
Big time, without a doubt, especially during this cost of living crisis. You know, people need work and stability now more than ever. So for another announcement of another retail outlet in Strabane, they say that no, they're closing their doors, is without a doubt having them impact. Now, I do believe that this impact has come, especially in that area, from the demolition of the three that had to close, as to do, I'm sure, that the lack of footfall in that area has now resulted in Pound Stretcher having to close their doors there, as obviously their income under that business isn't as much as it was before. But hopefully now, as I say, when we have this meeting and we try our best to attract further businesses back in to this area of the town, that hopefully this will attract bigger and a lot more world-renowned, maybe, retail outlets and the town, which will attract footfall from both sides of the border back into the town once again.
Yeah, that's it, because we don't want a House of Cards effect here, do we, whereby, you know, the sooner this Lidl gets open with those, you know, presumably it's an anchor tenant then with three other retail outlets, the sooner that gets open, the better. Now, they have their own timelines and they usually throw those stores up quite quickly, but still, you know, the sooner all that happens, the better.
Well, without a doubt, the sooner it happens, the better. And I know that when the Lidl store comes in itself, there is 19 employees within the Lidl store at the minute, that's within Strabane, and then when this new Lidl store opens, that's going to employ 10 more, so that'll be 29 alone employed within the Lidl store, and then hopefully with the three other retail units, and hopefully then for another retail outlet to come in there where Pound Stretcher is leaving, hopefully I can create up then or maybe 50 or 60 plus jobs.
Yeah, for sure, because with all due respect to Lidl, they're fantastic, but there's Lidl stores everywhere, so people aren't travelling into Strabane for that. You need different type of stores to sort of maintain that footfall and not just local traffic too. Okay, we'll watch on with interest, Jason, and hopefully that meeting is convened and there's a positive outcome as soon as possible. Thanks for your time today.
No problem. Thanks, William Gray.
All right, Councillor Jason Byrne, Deputy Mayor of Derry City and Strabane District Council as well. If you're affected by that or have a say, 086 60 25,000. A couple of requests, shall we do that now? Please wish Roy Mooney from Burt a very happy 90th birthday today. He's some man for one man, that's for sure. And he's loved very much by all his family. Looking forward to the big celebrations ahead. Love from his children, Robin, Derek, Adele and their families. Roy Mooney and Burt, happy birthday to you. I hope you have a wonderful day and you enjoy your celebrations. Madge Callahan's in Grove Hall in Remelton. And Madge is 86 today. Have a great day, Madge, from your loving husband, Michael. Hopefully you've already had tea and toast and more to follow. Madge, happy birthday to you listening to us. Hopefully in Remelton. Get your request dedications in. We're more than happy to do those for you. We've got live music coming up from one of the, I think, one of the most promising young bands in the Northwest region. They've got a new track out and they're going to be coming in and performing live in the next hour, so stay tuned for that. There's other stuff coming up as well, which I shall let you know as soon as it happens. I'm not a big fan of menus, but anyway, I like to let you know if there's some live music coming up. Keep involved in the conversation, 086 60 25,000. That's for WhatsApps and texts, of course, or call us on 07491 25,000. The news headlines just on the other side of this advert.